And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? DJ Bucky back with you. We're not together, Buck. I'm in Mobile, Alabama. I believe you are in Las Vegas, Nevada, if I'm not mistaken. You're out there at the East West. I'm out here at the Senior Bowl. We've got some tons of stuff going on in the NFL to talk about, as well as what's going on in these All-Star games. But first of all, how the heck you doing, man?
Man, I'm good. You know how the All-Star game circuit is, like trying to keep up with all the names. We've had a handful of guys in and out due to injury issues and those things. So trying to keep up with all of it. But it's been pretty cool. It's been good, like seeing some of the scouts, seeing some of the talent. We know how games where guys graduate up to this game. So we've seen some of the guys from the NFL, PA Collegiate Bowl come over and participate in the East-West Shrine. We've seen some of the guys that were notable names maybe fall out, but other guys have emerged. So it's been a good week.
Yeah, it's been fun. Fun first day down here as well. We're going to talk about some of these guys that have popped down here at the Senior Bowl in a little bit. Going to also want to talk about what's going on with some of the news we have around the league. I'll tell you what. Let's call an audible. We were going to get to my top 50 list at the top. I say we jump right to one of the major stories we've seen today, and that was the finality here that Tom Brady has called it a career. What was your takeaway there?
Look, man, I think it's rare when you have an opportunity to go out on top. And I think the way that Tom Brady went out, he certainly went out with everyone wanting more. And so at a time where we've seen a lot of older quarterbacks like limp to the finish line, he didn't. He didn't show any ill effects of like age or injury taking away of his game. And in fact, the last memory that we have of Tom Brady is Tom Brady leading a comeback that we thought was going to be another epic comeback. And so for him to go out after winning a Super Bowl his first year in Tampa, leading him back to prominence where he had a zillion yards and 43 touchdowns and all that other stuff, I don't know if you can top that. I think if he comes back, he certainly can't top what he did this year unless they win a Super Bowl. And I think he understood where he's at. It's best to go out on top. He is able to do something that few legendary players are able to do, is to kind of ride off into the sunset on the white horse.
Yeah, as two scouts who've spent a lot of time in cars driving and traveling over the years, how many times have you played that game where you're like, okay, the gas station, I don't know when I'm passing one. I can pull over right now. I'm inside a quarter tank. I'm in the middle of the Dakotas, but I think I'll be okay. Let's just wait till the next one. And then inevitably you see the zero on your gauge and you're just cruising. turn the air conditioning off. You roll your windows down and you're, man, don't let me run out of gas. Just let me get off the freeway. Shoot, Tom Brady pulled off the freeway with a quarter of a tank still left of gas, man. He had plenty left. But I respect the fact that it looks like he's just chosen his family in this situation to get a chance to spend more time with them.
Look, man, I think it's a great situation. I think it's a win-win for him because, look, DJ, he never will give whoever his critics are the opportunity to poke holes in his game. He never will have to endure the stuff on sports talk radio about, oh, Tom Brady's not the same as he was or whatever. Like, he will go out legitimately. Like, when we pull the highlights up, even at his end, his highlights are great.
Yeah.
And I think he's been able to scratch that itch. I think getting the ring last year took all the pressure off. Like, he could leave at any point. Because what else is there to prove? He's already proved that he could do it outside of New England. So he scratched that off the list. And then this year, playing as well as he played, the only thing that can happen for him is going down, not going up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, how does this change? Let's move it forward a little bit here with Tampa. You look, they have some key free agents coming up, including Ryan Jensen, their center, Chris Godwin, wideout. They've got to kind of figure this whole thing out at the quarterback position. They've got Gabbert there, got Kyle Trask, who you drafted last year, the second round out of Florida. Is there a time right now where you think it's, hey, let's strip it down a little bit and start with a new phase? Or do you think they try and hold on to this and maybe go out and try and hunt for a veteran to plug right in there?
I think you'd give me a couple of weeks to see if Bruce Arians retires or not. Tom Brady has done it. Because if Bruce Arians comes back, I don't think he has the patience for a rebuild. I think they try and find a way to piece it together to continue to keep it at a highly competitive mark. But the thing is, the quarterback. Who is going to be the quarterback? I can't say that we're confident that Kyle Trask is ready to handle it. Blaine Gabbert I mean, he's been fine, but are you ready to say like, hey, he's going to be the one that ushers the change? And then when you look out at the marketplace, who can step in there? And not only who can step in there, who wants to fill those shoes?
Yeah.
that Tom Brady leaves. I mean, I did have this wild thought. Did Jimmy Garoppolo go to Tampa
because
they can keep the system in place that Tom was running, some of the things that they were doing? I mean, I don't know. It'll be fascinating to see who becomes the quarterback, because I have no idea who could fill that role.
You know, one of the names I was kind of curious about is, you know, what happens with Derek Carr. I don't know if you saw, I was actually watching the press conference there with Dave Ziegler, as well as with Josh McDaniels, and their introduction there with the Raiders. And a question, which I don't know who it was. I don't know who the writer was, but somebody that was definitely had some rose colored glasses, because they said, is the fact that you have a top five quarterback here the Ooh. Reason why you took this job? And I thought, excuse me? Like, he put Derek Carr all up there in the top five. I like Derek Carr, but that coffee's a little bit rich for me. But the answer was a classic non-answer. Like, you can play winning football with Derek Carr or something. It was kind of just not a all chips in, let's get a long-term contract done, we're going to effort towards that. It was very much kind of a wait-and-see approach. And we say it every year at this time, Buck, when you either have a new general manager or a new head coach, and in this case, both, a lot of times that's accompanied by a new quarterback.
Yeah, now, and here's the thing with Derek Carr. It's not only do you want to bring him back. Okay, I'll bring you back at the number that you were at last year. And then do you want to be a lame duck? And then, you know, we just kind of figure out what it looks like. And then afterwards, but what Derek Carr is going to want, he's going to want the security of a new contract. I'm the Raiders. I'm new GM and head coach. I'm not ready to make that kind of commitment yet. I don't know what he looks like in my system. I don't know. I haven't been around him enough to make that. So, it's funny. I think Josh McDaniels and those guys have to slow play it. I don't think you make a long-term commitment with Derek Carr.
Yeah, that's going to be fascinating, man, to see what happens there. But again, that's one of the names you hear. Kirk Cousins, you've got a new regime, you know, coming in Minnesota. It's Kirk Cousins in the last year of his deal. Is that an option for Tampa? And again, I don't even know if Tampa even would want either one of those guys. You mentioned Jimmy Garoppolo. Obviously, you could swing for the fences. I don't think Green Bay is going to trade him down there with Aaron Rodgers. I don't think they're going to send him to Tampa. You got everybody talk about Russell Wilson. Is that a potential situation there?
Can we bring Jameis back?
See if we throw another 30 picks. You know what's crazy is, like, when you start stacking up who could, like, really, really be available, you know, he's going to be one of the more talented guys. But they've already played that. They've already played that movie. They can't do it. But it's just fascinating. Fascinating.
I know. But there's nobody else out there. So I don't know what that conversation looked like. And when they took Kyle Trask last year, did they take him with the idea that he would be the guy? You know, do they believe they can develop him to the point where he can be a franchise quarterback? I mean, man, wow.
Yeah.
If so, you know, but you never know. Like, I mean, it's one of those things. Like, a lot of it depends on, like, Bruce Arians. Does his entire staff come back? It appears that maybe everybody would be back with Bowles and Brian Leftwich. It doesn't necessarily look like those guys are going to get gigs. So you bring the band back together, you keep the defense kind of rolling, then you might just need to shift to where your offense runs in terms of being a little more run-centric as opposed to the quarterback driving the bus.
Yeah, they've got a good offensive line. If they keep everybody back, get everybody healthy. Obviously, we saw at the end of the year when Tristan Wirfs, you know, got hurt. Man, that was a big loss for them. But he's a young stud. He'll be back healthy and ready to go. So some intriguing things going on. As we're recording this right now, it looks like Jim Harbaugh is going to go to Minnesota tomorrow for an interview. And I would contend, I think we're on the same page here. When you're a sitting college head coach and you're going to physically get on a plane and go somewhere and interview, and you're doing it on National Signing Day, you don't do that unless that's your job.
You know, I think that is definitely the intent. And I am surprised. If Michigan wanted to keep him, I think you had to bottle this up, like, sooner rather than later. Like, you don't even negotiate the deal, like, before the playoff is even done. You take care of it. But now that he's out and he's hunting around, it does seem like he is he is gone. And DJ, I think we talked about it. Hey, man, I left it at a much better place than where I inherited
yeah,
it.
Yeah, so this is a walk off at the high mark.
Yeah. All right, look, we beat Ohio State. We won the Big Ten. We got to the playoff. Kind of a nice period on the end of the sentence. Now I can go on and cash out and make whatever it is that he will make from the Minnesota Vikings and see if he can, you know, like see if he can make Kirk Cousins into what he did with Alex Smith. Yeah. You know, Kirk Cousins has been good, but maybe he gives him
a little edge. That's a good call with Alex Smith. That's a good comp.
You know, maybe he gets him a little edge that makes him play winning football at a very high level. Say what you want. I don't care what anybody – yeah, I don't care what you say about Jim Harbaugh. Last time we saw him in National Football League, his teams were beating the brakes off folks.
Yeah. You know, the other thing I was thinking about, I was in, that game was in Miami, the Orange Bowl, when Michigan was playing Florida State, and Dalvin Cook wore them out. He's going to turn around and he's going to turn Dalvin Cook into his dude, man. I mean, that's he's going to hand him the ball a zillion times.
Well, look, man, remember what Frank Gore did under him?
Yeah.
Like he – I mean, like
Frank Gore loved each other, man. Like Harbaugh loved Gore, Gore loved Harbaugh.
And I mean, I think Minnesota, despite whatever issues they may have with the cap, I feel like they've always had a very talented roster. Now they have to tweak and adjust and do some things. And I'd be curious to see who's the offensive coordinator for him if he takes that over in terms of style of play and rough and rugged. Because the way he played in San Francisco was old school, 21 personnel. Yeah. Coming downhill. He did some creative things, but remember how he utilized Alex Smith. He really unlocked Alex Smith with the running game and using him and all that. I felt like Alex Smith learned how to play winning football under him. So what does he do and what does he really think about Kirk Cousins if he takes that gig?
Yeah, another thing I was thinking of, kind of a good situation with them, as much as he loves tight ends. I don't think there's premier tight ends in this draft, but there's a zillion of them. You can draft two tight ends if you want. Just add them to the group that you got. I mean, that's not going to be a problem.
No, I think he certainly can do that. And I think this draft will certainly help them with some of the pieces that you have to have. I mean, look, I'm gonna be honest with you though. Like after watching the Rams advance to the Super Bowl and Cincinnati Bengals advance to the Super Bowl from a team building standpoint, I mean, it's all on its head. In a way.
I had a talk with the GM yesterday, and I had another funny conversation with another one in the airport, but I'll tell you about that off the air. But I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they're like, man, like you look at how everybody's been taught forever how you build a team. It is you start up front, offensive line, take care of your quarterback. Cincinnati's offensive line stinks. The Rams' offensive line is just okay. And these teams are playing in the Super Bowl, Buck. And it's like, but you have to take a step back and say, you know what, there are exceptions. And I think Joe Burrow is the exception. We said it when Tennessee sacked him 9 times. And he turned the ball over once. Like, that's not normal. Most times quarterbacks get sacked 9 times. They get rattled. There's fumbles. There's interceptions. It goes terribly wrong. This dude is unflappable, man. Like, he's different. Not many people have Joe Burrow. So I still think that holds weight in terms of building up that offensive line. But it's a weird Super Bowl this year when you look at it from that standpoint.
I don't know. I think I'm changing the three P's. The P's are now passer.
Yeah.
Pass rushers. Playmakers.
Okay.
Because if you look at the way that these teams are constructed, dynamic passes, both of them, Matthew Stafford, Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Pass rush, Trey Henderson has been able to be a guy for them. You look at the LA Rams, they have a ton of them. And then they have a gang of playmakers around the passer. Yeah. Like there's no doubt about the supporting cast when it comes to it. The rest of the parts on both of these teams,
yeah.
Like linebackers, Like, literally, it's about the guys up front on defense for the Rams. You do have Jalen Ramsey, who is kind of like the outlier.
Yeah.
But the rest of those guys in the back seven are just guys.
Yeah.
You know? The Cincinnati Bengals.
Jesse Bates is their best player back there.
Yeah.
But then after that, you have one.
Yeah. After that, it's just whatever. But then I look at their offense, and I'm like, man, they have –
dudes, weapons everywhere.
They have at least two wide receivers. And – look, man, who would have thought? Doggone T. Higgins.
Oh, he's a bad dude. So how about this? Would you – and I know wide receivers come around every year, but T. Higgins and seeing what he's done and knowing how many mouths you have to feed there and thinking the Bengals eventually – and probably obviously not now. They've got another year or two. But, like, I would be, he'd be on my trade list where I'd be like, you know what? He'd be somebody I might be curious about giving up a pick for to try and, hey, you can't pay everybody. You got to pay. You can't have all that money in your receiver room. Let me take him off your hands. Let me get you a one. I'm picking late. I've got a mid to late one. Let me get you this one. I'll go ahead and send T. Higgins over here.
Oh, I think so. DJ, look, man, just when I was leaning towards like, hey, maybe you can receiver, maybe they're like running backs, we can find them. Nah, after watching the playoffs, you can find
weapons. You need blues.
You need blue chip wide receivers. Like, and it's crazy. Like, Cooper Kupp is the number one, but Odell Beckham Jr. being the insurance policy for the Rams on the other side, he and Cooper Kupp both go over 100 yards.
Yeah.
Crazy. Then you look at T. Higgins and Jamar Chase. T. Higgins
and Tyler Boyd.
Right?
A lot. Right. And Joe Mixon.
Right.
So, and Cam Akers with the Rams looks legit. Like, those are legit blue players, man.
And so the offensive line is just
Yeah.
And so now when we think about it, and look, we don't like kind of value mock drafts in terms of like how we base it. But before people were like, oh, you're going to have all those wide receivers. But after watching these two teams, you absolutely, I'm going to make sure that I get some five-star playmakers outside of, I mean, I just, it's a different
time. Yeah, and I mean, playing devil's advocate, we can go back a year ago in the Super Bowl with the Kansas City Chiefs without those tackles, with all those weapons that they had, got their teeth kicked in by the Tampa front. I don't want to overreact from that standpoint, but what I'm getting at is I think I'm going to go back to what we have said on here previously, which is I don't need five Hall of Famers. I don't need any Hall of Famers. I just can't have any tomato cans, like just no tomato cans. And the crazy thing is Cincinnati's winning with a couple tomato cans, but like ideally it's just no, just be a speed bump. Give me a little something up here.
So what we're saying is we don't necessarily need A's. But we probably can win with a bunch of B's and C's.
Yes. Yes. And what maybe more C's than B's.
You know, I don't need.
Just can't throw an F out. I'd like to not throw an F out there.
Oh, yeah. You don't want the guy that is everyone is just racing. Now, here's where the Super Bowl would be tricky.
That's what I'm saying, though. Let's put a pin in this conversation until we see if the Bengals can get a pass off against this Rams front in a couple weeks.
Because the Rams are not the Chiefs on defense.
Those are different animals now. And, Von Miller, I felt like we were at the front of the line, man. We said it. It's just going to be like this steady little crescendo for him.
Okay, so here's the thing, right, about the Rams that I found out. DJ, $39 million comes off their books for next year.
Yeah.
So when we're got the impending doom, like, oh, my God, they're not going to be able to keep it together, they're going to have $39 million freed up.
You want to hear something crazy? Because I looked this up today. I was just talking about this morning. So think about this. They traded their one next year for Stafford, right? They traded their two and their three for Von Miller. Okay. Think about all these other trades that these dudes have made. How many picks do you think they have next year? This coming draft, how many picks do you think they have?
Probably four or five, right?
They have a three for comp pick for losing Brad Holmes. They have a four comp for losing John Johnson. They have their original five. They have three sixes for losing Ebukam, Gerald Everett, and Troy Hill. So now we're at six. I got to get my second hand here. And they have two sevens. They have eight picks. And I know this is the thing. And we talked about this before, but okay, they're not ones and twos. They're not high picks. We're talking about, you know, fives, sixes, sevens, all that kind of stuff. You know what? When you trade your top picks for premier players at the premier positions, you know what you can find in the fifth, sixth, and seventh round? Linebackers, guards, safeties. That's all they do. And then they let those guys, they develop them. They let them play for a couple years. Their contracts are up, and they go ahead. And then we'll bring in the next cheap starter right behind you with all these comp picks. It's freaking smart, man.
So what they're doing is they are building a band where they have lead singers, they just need backup. They just need a chorus. I just need, you need some doo-woppers.
Hey, we swap out the pips. That's it.
Yeah, whoever the pips are, hey, here we go. You're the pips for the next. That's what they're able to do. DJ, it is a star-driven league, and the stars that they have stars at the key position.
It's the NBA, man.
Quarterback star, pass catcher star.
Corner.
Pass rusher. And then they got a corner.
Yeah.
Now it's hey, let's fill it in with the other guys.
Which Pips.
You can, yeah, you can develop them because you can hide those other guys because the star power is so spectacular.
All right, my top 50 came out, Buck. Let me kind of walk you through the top 10 and you just tell me if anything stands out to you here. You can find this again if you just go to NFL.com. You can check out the top 50 and I write summaries on all these players. But I've got Aiden Hutchinson as my top player. Again, you know, I don't think this top 10 it's not as talented as the previous years that we've had. So anyways, Aiden Hutchinson's one. Ekwonu from NC State, the tackle is two. Evan Neal's three. Kyle Hamilton from Notre Dame is four. Sauce Gardner, maybe a surprise to some people, the corner from Cincinnati is five. Thibodeau is six for me from Oregon, the edge rusher. And then I've got the two linebackers, seven and eight, N'Kobe Dean from Georgia and Devin Lloyd from Utah. And then I'll give you these next few here. I've got these three wideouts rolling together. I've got Garrett Wilson at nine from Ohio State. I've got Drake London at 10 from USC. And I've got Treylon Burks at 11 from Arkansas. And there are other wide receivers I like that are in this top 25, but I want to hit you on this, Buck, because I'm just sticking with what we've been talking about on here for the last couple months and looking at these good teams and look at these good offenses and look at these productive receivers. And play strength is what I'm kind of – that's where I'm parking my car this year. And so when I have those three wide receivers, Garrett Wilson can do everything, and he's strong, plays strong, yeah. Breaks tackles after the catch, all that stuff. And then I've got Drake London and Treylon Burks right there as well. Those guys, okay, with Drake London, you get a really, really polished route runner and is really physical and tough, doesn't have the speed. With Burks, yeah. You get the speed and the toughness. You don't have the same route running. So I went route runner as kind of we've kind yeah. of established over the years, route runner just yeah. above the athlete. But all three of those guys are strong, man. You can't watch these games and see Cooper Kupp digging out linebackers and see Deebo Samuel breaking tackles and on and on and see Ja'Marr Chase, they can't tackle him. Like, I want play strength, man. No little dudes out there.
No little dudes. Well, geez, let's go and look at the playoffs and look at the wide receivers who've been able to actually get it done. So you talked about Cooper Kupp. We look at Odell Beckham Jr. None of those guys are little guys. None yeah. of, they have not, girth.
Strength. Yes.
When you look at them, they have some
lower Deebo body Samuel. Strength.
Yeah, Deebo Samuel. So then we go to the Cincinnati Bengals. I mean, look at Ja'Marr Chase. Look at the size and the radius that T. Higgins brings to the table. Go to the Tennessee Titans, A.J. Brown, his physicality and toughness.
I mean, Tyreek Hill, look at his lower body.
Thick, physical, explosive. Let's think about the Buffalo Bills, and no one was there. But look at Gabriel Davidson, his size that he brings yep. to DJ. It's physical. It's mm-hmm. a big man's game when it comes to the strength and being able to get rid of. Yeah, I want to do that. And I think what's interesting, you put up there your corner, Sauce Gardner, big corner.
Big, yeah.
Tackle. The tackling shows up on tape. People ask, well, where's Stingley at? Hey, man, like when you go and you look at Stingley. Man. Over the last 2 years, he hasn't been effective tackling and getting people to the ground. He's kind of been in and out. He had a great freshman year, but the last 2 years have just been eh. So now that matters. You can't hide those guys anymore. We look at the playoffs. Those guys are showing up, and they're giving up big plays and touchdowns. And so it is kind of coming back to center. The last thing I will say on the list, everyone has assumed that Kayvon Thibodeau is going to be number one or number two. But when you turn on the tape and you really look at him, he cruises. Mm-hmm. It is on and off. The motor doesn't run hot the entire time. People will say, yeah, but the flashes are great. The flashes are great, but the inconsistent play is going to bother you because you don't know what are you going to get at the next level if he's not in an environment where he's surrounded by a bunch of A-level, high-motor guys. You don't know that. Yeah. And so to me, I am more conservative and reserved on those guys than the guys that play hard. I don't care what anyone says. I believe playing hard is certainly a skill, and you have to put it in the evaluation.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you watch Trey Hendrickson and what he does? And then and trust me, I'm down here with all everybody in the NFL's down here, you know, and you run into him, and some people aren't in love with Hutchinson. Oh, he's this, he's stiff, he's this. I said, you know what? Yeah, you know what? Trey Hendrickson's going to get 12 and a half sacks every year. This kid's going to get 12 and a half sacks every year. He never stops. Never stops. And by the way, I've heard from a couple different people. Oh, after the Georgia game, I'm like, go back and watch that Georgia game, because I went back and watched it again. They ran quick game. They moved the pocket away from him. They doubled him. he still generated some pressures. He still drew holding penalties. He got flat backed like one time by their tackle. Okay. So if you want to hang your hat on that, go ahead. All I know is if you watch that game, you could tell Georgia knew about him and was concerned about him with how they called it. That to me is that's a sign of respect. That's a sign of a good player.
Absolutely. People will show you what they think about you, how they play you. And the way that they played them, they made sure they were like, he is not going to wreck the game. Yep. So they took care of it. I saw him play a couple of weeks earlier at the Big Ten Championship game. He absolutely wrecked the game. And he's wrecked the game throughout the course of the season for a lot of teams. And so that is why we talk about the body of work and not just the Johnny come lately. Oh, I just saw him at the playoff game, and I'm going to base my decision on that. He is a good player. He's a productive player. And look, man, I am not putting him in the Bosa range, but I will say, and watching both of the Bosas and watching Nick Bosa, whatever, playing hard leads to a number of the sacks that both of those guys are able to generate. And when I look at Aiden Hutchinson's hand skill, he is a skilled pass rusher. He is not just a run around, dip and rip sensation. He has some skill to him. I would say with Thibodeau is more athlete than polished player. And sometimes all the athletes aren't able to turn it up and make a ton of plays at the next level.
Yeah, and I've said in my report, and you'll hear a lot of that echoed from people around the league, there is some tightness with Thibodeau. He's explosive. He's explosive, no doubt. He's got a burst off the line. He's got some shock in his hands, but he's got a little ankle tightness, and you see that, you know, kind of when he tries to bend and wrap around the edge. It's not really what it is. When we've seen plenty of great pass rushers that have some tightness, so that's not the be-all, end-all. I'm just saying this is not Myles Garrett. This is not Von Miller. This is not any of those types of guys in terms of being able to bend and wrap and do those things. He's not that. He's a good player, but he's not that.
Nah, and look, man, I think one of the things that you have to do as a general manager, we always talk about it, you got to scout your coaches.
Yeah.
Who coaches him matters a lot in terms of not only in terms of what they're able to add to his toolbox, but how they're able to get him to go, to get him revved up, to be able to play down after down after down. Do you have a locker room that has high levels of accountability when it comes to the D-line room? I think some of that is going to impact and influence the way that Thibodeau plays at the next level.
All right, I'm going to give you two names from the first day of practice here. I haven't got a chance to watch the tape, so it's always dangerous to comment on these guys without really seeing the practice from that standpoint. But I'm going to give you two names from the Senior Bowl to keep an eye on. This is as Tuesday night as we're recording this, day one. To me, I thought really kind of the star of the show was South Carolina edge rusher Kingsley Enagbare. Just missed my top 50. He looked every bit like a top 50 player. Look like a first-round pick today. We'll see if he can kind of keep that going. But he's almost 6'4". He's 261 pounds. Buck, he's got 35-inch arms. He really put on a show today. He was outstanding. And I wasn't surprised at all to see Jermaine Johnson from Florida State show up. We both talked about him. We like his game. And then, you know, I think we talked about this one as well, just in terms of a player that's going to blow up this week. Devontae Wyatt from Georgia, who just isn't allowed to play upfield as much in that Georgia scheme. He got a chance of one-on-ones this week to see this dude. And he's over 300 pounds. He's 307 pounds. He's probably going to run 4.8. So he's a freak, and he showed up. So those are some really good D linemen that popped today. And then, you know, we'll kind of keep an eye on this group as we go through the week. And when we get back, for sure, if we don't touch on it this Thursday, we will definitely hit the recap when we get back next week. And you've got East-West coming up Thursday, right?
Yeah, East-West coming up Thursday. And, DJ, I'm going to say this. I have been surprised by the wide receiver, Kyle Phillips.
He's a San Diego kid. That's all we do, Buck. We just create football players, man. Come on.
Hey, DJ, he has been wearing folks out. And I think people are going to make the mistake of comparing him to the feel-good story of Hunter Renfrow and those things. And I think people need to dig in his background. This was a four-star recruit. He is not a look. He ain't a little feel-good sort. This dude can play, man. And DJ, he has been wearing people out. And he is a polished route runner. The only thing I would say is, like, size-wise, 5'11", 191 is not necessarily the mold that we talk about the guys being. But he's good enough. And I think he's a guy who's versatile enough to be a inside or outside player. I think he may do his damage in the slot.
Yeah.
He's been the best player down here.
Yeah, interesting. Well, I got to watch him still. I just remember seeing him in high school. gosh, where, what was the name of the school he was at? He was,
I think he went to San Marcos.
San Marcos. That's right. San Marcos High. Yep. I think my nephew might have played against him actually. Anyways, that's great, man. I'll put him on the list and we'll get him watched. There's a lot of good players down here. So looking forward to see how the rest of those practices go and then we get to the games. But anything else you want to jump into before we get out of here, Buck?
Nah, man, I think this is a fun time. You know, like it's crazy, DJ, because like we're in the month of February. Like we have these games and like we have this game this week. And we have
the combine's right around the corner, man.
I mean, literally, like it is on and before you know it, like we're putting it together. And so it's fast and furious. The NFL has done a great job of extending the calendar, but they've extended the calendar so much that they've shortened that calendar when it comes to being able to get these prospects looked at.
No doubt. All right. Well, this has been a fun, lots of ground to catch up on here. It's great to see your face, Buck. We'll be together in person here before you know it. But that's going to do it for us today. Appreciate you guys. We'll catch you next time right here on Move the Sticks.